Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. Most of us take the safety of our food supply as a given. We expect the food will contain what's on the label and not contain other things that might be harmful or that were maybe even put there in the food on purpose. Our next guest is the head of MSU's Food Fraud Initiative, which looks at a number of food safety issues. Dr. John Spink joins us on Current State.
Good morning.
Welcome. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Explain to our listeners what the Food Fraud Initiative at MSU does, what it's all about.
Sure. Well, it's been a really fascinating evolution of this discipline, really, over time. We started looking at more packaging and counterfeiting and other types of basic food safety issues. And then we really found that when we focused on the motivation or preventing it, it was something fundamentally different. So we evolved to look at the bad guy and try to figure ways to prevent food fraud.
And where was why this growing concern with the bad guy? There were incidents that led to this concern.
That's exactly right. Food fraud is really the deception for economic gain using food. So cheating using food. It's really no different than any other type of fraud crime. But it just happens to be very sensitive for us because we all eat a lot of food as humans. So the thing that we did is we really are looking closely at it from a food safety, food science standpoint. And that really takes Michigan State's expertise into consideration.
This is from your website, John. Your goal is to, quote, to protect the global and domestic food supply from food fraud vulnerability, including adulteration, misbranding, tampering, overruns or licensee fraud, theft, diversion, simulation and counterfeiting, unquote. These issues are something you're seeing on an increasing basis?
Yeah, that's really the key that we've got is probably per capita, per 100,000 people, the number of incidents of food fraud has been probably the same since recorded history. We've got recorded evidence of French wine labeled as Roman wine back, you know, quite a while ago. But the key that we have now is a couple things have come together that make it very, very important for us all to deal with. One is globalization. Product is moving faster around the world. More product is moving faster around the world. So we have bigger production facilities where 1 hour of production could be in all four corners of the globe in just a matter of 24 hours. Mm. We also have increased testing technology. So if in your facility you had a problem, we would be able to really identify it, pinpoint it. And so it's the combination of these two that lead us to have bigger food fraud incidents and also that companies or countries are able to really be identified.
Can you take us into the mind of a food fraudster? Where is the payoff as far as they're concerned in a more common scenario?
Yeah, well, that's the thing that's so challenging about this, and this is perfect for, you know, a place like MSU, very interdisciplinary, very practical, you know, building off the extension focus, you know, land grant, is us really looking practically, how do we prevent it in the first place? And the first thing we had to really do is understand that unlike regular food safety, where the biological organism might be Listeria or E. coli, the biological organism is a human. And so we have to take the same theories and try to dissuade the human from acting.
Hmm. Food adulteration is something I think a lot of us associate with past eras, sawdust in bread and Upton Sinclair's The Jungle with its contaminated meat. But the Chinese melamine scandal of 2008 was a reminder that adulteration has not gone away, and that was particularly hair-raising because so many of the victims were children. Something like 54,000 kids were hospitalized. Remind us what happened there.
Well, yeah, and a key is that along with these, the increased technology, we're finding these issues, the root causes. More product is moving around in the world faster, so there's more of an opportunity, more of a fraud opportunity. We've also got a few key incidents that have really raised the attention and really created outrage in consumers. And a key is consumers will then have a ripple effect into the legislature, which is then trying to put laws in place, whether it's in the EU or the US, and industry has to respond because of legal liability.
Okay.
Melamine, you know, the issue was when we had a couple of these, we also then the the straw that broke the camel's back, or the spark that lit this off, was a few of these key incidents. And you mentioned melamine. That's one where that was product that moved completely around the world very, very quickly. And we didn't know at the start what was causing the humans to get sick, or in the U.S. we really had pet food. The melamine was in the pet food. We didn't know what made the pets sick. And that really gave us a lot of reason for concern, because we didn't know what was in our food. And then just more recently, about a year ago, horse meat was in beef in the U.K. and across Europe.
Yes.
And that was probably twice the impact, because there was such an outrage, a violation that what's in our food? You know, if you can't trust going to the corner store, what else can you not trust in society? And that led to more outrage, and we've seen a lot of really action occur after those two incidents.
We may remember tampering from the Tylenol scandal from years ago, but now most of us think, okay, most products seem fairly tamper-proof. I'm thinking of a pharmacy type scenario here. It's impossible to get these packages opened half the time, but a devious enough mind could really do some awful food terrorism without a whole lot of effort, especially with the emphasis on eating fresh produce. How does that play out?
Well, you hit on a really a key challenge here, two key challenges actually. One is food defense is really combating the malicious intent to harm. And so that's terrorism, that's malicious, that's disgruntled employees, that's anarchists. And that's what probably what happened with the Tylenol incident from the mid-80s, where someone put poison in a few bottles of Tylenol, but it created a nationwide international scare. And so that's food defense, that's attacks. The thing, though, with fraudsters is they're not trying to get caught. They're stealthy, clandestine, and they're actively seeking to avoid detection. So the very tests we have to look for bad products, they're trying to zig and zag to move around. And that's where our focus has slowly shifted from detection and deterrence. Deterrence is fighting a specific person trying to get in a specific situation, like someone trying to kick down your door. If you stop that's deterrence. But prevention is fundamentally changing the way that we buy products, we test products, we onboard suppliers. All these things come into play to really lead to prevention. That's where our research has shifted, the industry, to look more at a preventative approach. And you really have to look at that organism separately and the intent of the organism. E. coli will try to replicate the same way every time, everywhere. Humans won't. We'll adapt as humans. And that's really why the focus has shifted from the food defense, the attacks, to more fraud.
Over the longer haul, John, are you confident that enough resources, government resources, industrial resources, university resources, are assigned to this? Or is it a concern that at some point there may be more bad actors out there than we can keep up with?
Well, fundamentally, that's why the shift to prevention is critical. We are never going to arrest our way to safety. We are never going to incarcerate our way to a safer food supply. We need to be a more preventative approach and really fundamentally change, you know, adjust the ways that we're procuring product. And I do feel very confident that the philosophy is becoming embraced, and people understand clearly prevention. But to go from a more responsive situation like we're in now, like we do with food safety or food defense or even crime, to shift to prevention is very difficult. But we do see industry leading the way. And this has been very, very unique, because the two stakeholders that are the most concerned about food fraud are you and me, eating food, consumers, mm-hmm. and the biggest food companies. And those biggest food companies, just think about 1 hour of production is for name any company, it's a Fortune 100 company. Think how much production in 1 hour. If they just have product that's mislabeled of different country of origin, it could be fine product, but if it's mislabeled, they have huge recalls based on just the label being in error. So we actually have the biggest companies are the ones that need the strongest and most proactive regulation in this area. So we have a lot working together.
But it also seems to suggest that the larger public, the at-large public, plays a role in this as well. Yeah. Is that the case?
Well, you know, we as consumers people say, what should we do? When we go to the store, what should we do?
Exactly.
And the key is that most of these bad guys are very good at what they do. And with all counterfeit products, we see this, that they have... manufacturers have trouble sometimes deciphering which is the counterfeit and which isn't. But especially for food, one of the things that I say is in our household, what we do for food, and whether I'm traveling around the world, and I've been some amazing trips, amazing people I've met around the world, but what I rely on suppliers who have a vested interest in keeping me as a repeat supplier. So if you buy from someone on the street or an anonymous person online, something like that, then they have less interest in keeping you happy. Now, this doesn't mean only buy from big retailers, because that small corner specialty retailer where you buy specialty olive oil or wine, that they're going to be very passionate about their product. And if there's a concern, they're going to be testing their own product, and they may be those experts that can tell the difference between specific types of olive oil. And if you have a relationship with that supplier, then you're going to be safer. I think also the consumer role is, if we think there's a problem, we need to communicate it. We can't just throw the product away.
Do different countries and different laws, that must play a role in this somehow. Just the legal prohibitions, the legal what's permissible and what isn't from country to country.
Yeah, well, and that's definitely a big point. Now, number one, it has to be illegal. And it was only 1984 when general product counterfeiting was a crime in the U.S. Before, it was more of a civil violation. Mm. And so things that we're moving forward now is, it's in the EU, the U.K., the U.S. as well, with the Food Safety Modernization Act, is we're more clearly defining food fraud as a separate thing. Once we define it as a thing, we have to deal with it. So we've got food safety, food defense, food fraud. And so laws are moving forward. Something that's very... I think it's a really great sign is that we have great collaboration with people from around the world in first defining the term and the scope of the project. You know, is it only adulteration? Is it also smuggling, stolen goods? And we see that with the EU, Russia, China, across the U.S., you know, that we the U.K., we have different groups that are forming this common definition. And actually, it came from original research we did back in November 2011 when food fraud, a term had been used before and used in the UK especially for maybe 10 years, but it wasn't really formalized. And in November 2011 was the first time that the word food fraud was defined in the scholarly press. Mm. And the key there is, for scholars, if it's not in a scholarly journal, it doesn't exist. And we actually moved forward on that article because we were proposing research and people didn't know what it was. And actually, we just joked and said, well, the word's not even defined. So we took on a first project, volunteer. We didn't have funding for it. And really ourselves, with my colleague Doug Moyer, who's an MSU colleague here, we developed an article defining the public health threat of food fraud. And here we are about two years later, and you know, it's a term that article is cited and quoted in pretty much all the major laws and regulations and mm-hmm. certifications around the world.
What do you hope to achieve longer term with MSU's food fraud initiative?
Yeah, well, the thing is, we've always, from the start, we've tried to be a collaboration point. We'll lead where it's appropriate or helpful, but really a collaboration point. So every time we find anybody that's working on food fraud interested, we try to connect with them and try to work together to understand what they're doing. So we'd like to expand the collaboration point. We really need to formalize our role here. And that's something that we're doing with MSU, is really as the grants are building up, as industry's involved, we're starting to really formalize positions, a research platform. And we just want to keep expanding what we're doing, formalize our relationships.
How big's your office? I mean, you have a lot of people, or your modest operation, what?
Well, yeah, it's me with
clients. I'm looking at it. Okay.
But I would say that the thing that we've got is with a place like Michigan State, a lot of people are very open to new ideas. I will say, once we started to establish ourselves as producing articles and getting grants, so we're not just a flash in the pan, just some idea. We were delivering, and our industry involvement, being on committees, leadership positions, we've demonstrated that we're making an impact. And at this point, we've got a lot of people that are just collaborators. And
well, it sounds like a great opportunity for students too, though. I mean, the food science students at Michigan State.
Absolutely. Well, it's not going away. You know, FBI has called, you know, generally fraud and counterfeiting the crime of the 21st century. It's been going on, as I said, since Roman times. We really are helping companies and helping countries move forward.
Dr. John Spink is the head of MSU's Food Fraud Initiative. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Good luck.